Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to be turning today to Genesis chapter 7, and we're going to begin our message here in this particular chapter looking at the subject of invitations, public invitations that are given in the Word of God. We find here in Genesis, reading in chapter 7, notice with me in verse 1, he says here, "The Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." Father, we ask for your blessings to be upon a reading of thy precious word. And Lord, we do pray today that the saints of God would be edified. We pray today also that the lost, that they would be convicted of their sin and their rebellion against God, they would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, for that it's in His name we pray. Well, amen. Well, we're going to be looking at the subject of invitations, or I'll just title this, The Invitation, dealing with public invitations in the Word of God. There are many invitations that are given throughout the Holy Scripture, and here is one in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Well, we appreciate you listening to the broadcast each time, and we do hope that it's a blessing to you. And we'd like to give you a website where you could go there, and we have many articles. Basically, an article is a sermon in print, but also we have many sermons there. We have hundreds, literally hundreds of full-length sermons that are, most of them are preached in our church. And so I believe that it could be a help to you if you go to the website, and again, for the articles and also for the sermons. And the website is biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, but you also can find us on sermonaudio.com. Now, if you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to type in my name as one of the speakers there, Robert Reed, and that'll take you to our web page. But either case, you can go and find many sermons and many articles that we have written. Well, coming to our text now in Genesis chapter 7, looking at the subject of the invitation, as we'll title it here today. And you'll notice with me again, verse 1, chapter 7 and verse 1, he says, "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." As we begin here with this particular passage, notice in verse 1 that the Lord gives an invitation to Noah and his family, or his house, to come into the ark to be saved from the judgment of God that is ready to fall upon the world. Now, the word "come" is used here in chapter 7 and verse 1. Again, Noah and his family responded to God's invitation. Now, if they had not have responded to this invitation, they would have been destroyed as everyone else. Actually, millions were destroyed at this time in the world. The Bible speaks of this in many places, not only in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, but it speaks of it in the New Testament in 2 Peter 2, 5, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It speaks of the world that then perished. Well, we find here an invitation that is given. Now, why did God give an invitation during this time? Well, in chapter 6 and verse 5, as we would read through that passage, we see that the world had become very wicked by this time. from the creation unto the flood in Noah's day was about 1600 years. The world had become very wicked and corrupt. As a matter of fact, in chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart." Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." But then in verse 8, we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a believer. He believed God's word. And he's the one that spent 120 years preaching and also building of the ark. We also find in verse 11, he said, "The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence." He said, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." In other words, God destroyed the world because of sin and rebellion and compromise and wickedness and corruption, and only Noah and his family were saved. Now, we find that God remembered Noah, and Noah and his family escaped judgment. It says in verse 16 of chapter 7, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Now, here's the thing I want to get across today. There are many invitations for a variety of reasons that are given in the Word of God. And here we find probably the first invitation that's given in God's Word. And we find here that it is in the days of Noah. And God says in chapter 7 in verse 1, he says, "Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen before me in this generation." And of course, Noah and his family responded to the invitation of God. Now here's the thing. Noah had been a preacher of righteousness. He had preached for many years. He had built the ark, him and his family. And he had warned of judgment. God had told him that he would judge the world. And as we look at this, we see that if Noah had not have responded to the invitation, even though he preached, even though he built the ark, even though he warned of the judgment of God, and all these things, if Noah had not have responded to the invitation that God had given him, him and his family would have also died in the flood waters. So we see the importance of invitations that are given in the Word of God. When the Lord God gives an invitation, then we must respond to that invitation in order to be saved or to be blessed or to be delivered by God. Now I want to speak briefly today of three types of invitation that are given in the Word of God. And the first one is going to be in Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 18. I'm going to speak to you about an invitation to sanctification, first of all. Secondly, and we're going to go to Matthew 11, verse 28, and we're going to look at an invitation to service. And the number three, we're going to go to Revelation 22 and verse 17, and we're going to consider an invitation to salvation. Now, first of all, I'm going to be reading from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be reading from chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, and for time's sake, let me go to verse 18 and read here. Now, what is interesting about this chapter and this entire book is that this is an invitation to the nation of Israel to sanctification. And we find here that this invitation is spoken in dark days. In other words, exile is coming to Judah. And they refuse to return unto God. This is spoken, by the way, to God's people, Judah. And they had refused to return unto God and turn from their sins. And so the things we're reading as we began in Isaiah chapter 1, these things were spoken in some very dark days. In other words, captivity is coming. What is coming for Judah is that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The temple, Solomon's temple, is going to be destroyed by the Babylonians, and God's judgment is going to come up on them. They would be carried for 70 years into Babylon, into captivity. Now, here's the thing. As we read through this chapter, we find from verse 2, and I'm going to read in verse 18 in just a moment, but I'm laying a foundation. In verses 2 through 8, we find that they are backslidden. You can read that for yourself sometime. They are backslidden. And they are sick with sin and rebellion. And so verse 2 through 8, we see Israel or Judah in a backslidden condition. We also see in verses 10 through 17 that because of their rebellion, because of them being backslidden, God even refused their sacrifices and prayers and their feast. We find that the sacrifices were commanded of God. The prayers were commanded of God. The feast days were commanded of God, and still yet God, He would not receive them from this rebellious people. Their heart was not right, and so God refused the things that they brought unto Him. And then, as we consider the text, in verses 19 through verse 20, they were to either obey or they would rebel. And we know that they did not repent, they did not turn to the Lord by reading the rest of the book of Isaiah. And so they did go into captivity, and the Jerusalem was destroyed, and the city and the temple were ruined. Now notice with me as we read in Isaiah, reading in chapter 1 and verse 18. And he said this, he said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Notice the Lord again. He says, "Come now. Let us reason together. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord." As God gave an invitation in Genesis 7:1 to come and to be physically saved from the flood waters, the judgment of God, here in our text today, God writing and sending His prophet to His people, we find here is an invitation to sanctification. Again, it's spoken to God's people, Israel, or Judah in particular. And so here is an invitation in verse 18 to a sinful people to get right with God, or they would be carried into captivity. The word reason means to think, to use your mind. God gave all of us a conscience, and He gave us a mind. He gave us the ability to reason and to think. And so He says to His people, He says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So God has given an invitation to His people, and in this particular case, we know that the majority of them did not respond well to this invitation. And again, verses 19 through 20, we can see how the faithful city of Jerusalem had become a harlot, and so on and so forth. In other words, we see their rebellion and their sin and their wickedness against the Lord God. And so we know that as we read through Isaiah and other books of the Bible, that God did judge them. God did lead them into captivity for 70 years, and then God allowed them to return and rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. Now, so here's an invitation. Now, in the days of Noah, we find that Noah responded to the invitation. Those who were drowned in the flood waters did not respond to the invitation. But Noah and his family responded, and it's a clear example of how that responding to God's invitation that we can be saved, we can be delivered, that we can escape, and we can be rescued. But here in this passage, it is an invitation to sanctification. And again, as you read through the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, again, describes their sins. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 39, again, describes their sin and rebellion. But in those chapters, we also see Judah's captivity foretold because of their rebellion. And so God gave an invitation, and most rejected and refused to respond to that invitation. Even in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, he says, "Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And in this passage, if we read through the entire chapter, even in verse 6, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." In other words, God is saying to this nation, to these people, he's saying to them, please repent, please turn, please respond to my invitation. But we do see that the majority in Israel and in Judah did not respond. They were backslidden. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, backsliders, said the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. In other words, he will not be filled with the way and will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 7, we're told to sanctify ourselves, that is, set ourselves apart unto God. 1 Peter 1, and verse 15 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Even in the book of Psalms, he tells us in Psalms 15, "Who shall abide in the house of the Lord?" So we see here that Noah responded to the invitation and was saved. The rest of the world at that time did not respond, and they were destroyed in the floodwaters. It is estimated that there are millions that died in the days of Noah because of the rebellion against the preaching of God's word. So in the days of Israel and Judah and Isaiah chapter 1, throughout the book of Isaiah, we see that the majority did not respond, and so they were destroyed. So now the next invitation. You'll notice with me in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, reading from verse 28 to verse 30. In this passage, he said in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We find here an invitation to service. Now, we can use this passage, obviously, to encourage folks to be saved. Obviously, this passage will fit in that respect. But this is an invitation to service. Here Christ refers to service, not necessarily sin, and to labor, not necessarily guilt. Christ is showing that under the New Testament that all things come through. In other words, he's saying that he's speaking of salvation. He's speaking of joy and comfort and peace and rest and happiness and grace and mercy and all these things that we have under the New Testament. In other words, under the New Testament, we see things that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 28, he speaks of being heavy laden, that is, weighted down and laboring under the burden of sin and Satan. And he's saying that in this passage that we can be freed from the yoke of iniquity and bondage of sin and the law and tradition and laboring in vain, that we can be freed from all of that. He's also saying in verse 28 that we can have rest that is spiritual rest, tranquility of the soul and conscience. In other words, we can rest and enjoy in the atonement, the pardon, the justification, the imputed righteousness, all these things. Matter of fact, in Romans 10 and verse 12, those who will be saved, he tells us they shall not be ashamed. They shall not be confounded. As in Isaiah 28:16, they shall not make haste. And he says in verse 30, notice this again, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the yoke of submission to Christ, to work in harmony with him and not against him. His commandments are not grievous in 1 John 5 and verse 3. This figure is taken from oxen yoked together, team working together to ease the load. And I think most of us understand what he's talking about in the passage. So here is an invitation this passage. This is an invitation service. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about discipleship. Matthew 16, verse 24 through 27, he says, "Take up thy cross and follow me. Deny yourselves. Deny the crowds and follow me, the Lord." This is true Christianity. It's not heard of in many churches today, but it's true Christianity. A radical call. Christ must rule our lives. And of course, this is not the concept, the American concept of the gospel or the American dream. And so we see that the Lord is clearly saying in this text, as well as Matthew 16, verse 24 through 27, and Luke chapter 26 through 33, he tells us what true discipleship is all about. The Lord wants us as a disciple to be a follower of him. Did you know that the word disciple is used many, many, many times in the scripture? The word Christian is only used three times in the New Testament. The word Christian is a good title. It's a good name. There's nothing wrong with it. I call myself a Christian, but also refer to myself as a disciple. As a disciple, that is one who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship is seen all through the New Testament. Jim Elliot, the martyred in 1956 with four other men, he made this statement, and he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he's talking about gaining eternal life through Jesus Christ, and he committed his life and served the Lord. And of course, he gave his life, his physical life, for the Lord for the sake of others coming into the kingdom. And so we see that the Lord has given an invitation to service. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to be followers. He wants us to deny ourselves, deny the crowds, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is true Christianity. Again, it's not heard of much today. And it is a radical call that Christ would rule in our lives. And this is very important, a very important truth that we see in the Holy Scripture. Now, again, it's not the American concept of the gospel of Jesus Christ in many ways. Well, thirdly, the last invitation, and this is not all the invitations, these are just the ones that I'm looking at today, but the last one would be in Revelation chapter 22 in verse 17. Revelation 22 in verse 17. Now, basically, we've considered four invitations. First of all, we considered the invitation that was given to Noah and his family, and they responded, and they escaped the judgment of God, and the world at that time was destroyed. We see first, and as far as their outline, we see in Isaiah 1:18 an invitation to sanctification to the nation of Israel, the Old Testament, to God's people in the Old Testament, so that they could escape the captivity, and of course they did not. The Babylonians came, and the Babylonians destroyed the city and the temple and killed many and carried many into captivity. And they were there for 70 years before they could return and rebuild. Then in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, we've seen an invitation to service. Christ is calling upon men and women to follow him and to serve him. And many did, and many are today. For the last 2,000 years, there have been disciples of Christ, Christians, those who are Christ-like, those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, we see an invitation to salvation. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, we have these words, last book of the Bible, the last chapter. And he said this in chapter 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The last invitation in the Bible, the invitation to eternal life, the invitation to enter into God's kingdom, God's final invitation to mankind. He speaks of the water of life in this passage to quench the thirsty soul, which is mentioned in John 4, John 7, Psalm 63, Isaiah 55, many other places. He also speaks in verse 11 and verse 18 and 19 of judgment. Verse 18 and 19, those who reject God's word, we see what happens to them. Those who will add to God's word or take away from God's word. The everlasting gospel is preached in Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. But here is an invitation in verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come." In other words, God has given an invitation to all who believe on Jesus Christ, who will be saved, will repent of their sins and turn unto God, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Even Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will open to him, I will come into him, and sup with him, and he with me." God has given an invitation that men and women would be saved, that they would come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is only in Christ, and we must repent of our sins. We must believe the gospel. We must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior in order to have eternal life. God has promised to save you. God has promised to give you eternal life, and if you are not saved, you need to respond to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Christ died for your sins at Calvary's cross, gave his life, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Salvation is a free gift through Jesus Christ, but we must respond to his invitation in order to be saved. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, I want to thank you again for listening to the broadcast. Hope that it's been a blessing to you. Remember our website, biblicaltruth.info, biblicaltruth.info, or you can find us on sermonaudio.com. Again, it's always our privilege to be able to preach to you by radio. We hope that, again, it's been a blessing to you. If it has, write us, let us know that you're listening to the program. And also, if you've been saved through the program, we would love to hear about that as well. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.